I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am a doer and not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Say, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. So once again, I'm excited about the opportunity to stand before you today, and we are going to continue on in the series of Bigger on the Inside. It's been a great series thus far, amen. Would you agree on this morning that it has been a very, very good series? It causes you to examine yourself, and I like to take daily examinations to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and or being the best me, amen. And Bigger on the Inside has been great. He's been giving us some very thought-provoking lessons, and last week, our pastor encouraged us. There were six things he encouraged us that we should or should not be doing, and the first thing he said that we are to not operate without integrity, amen. Y'all remember that on last week, that we are to be integral people, and that we are to make sure that we are fair, and that we are not mistreating people, we are not overcharging people, but we are to walk in integrity at all times, amen. We are to be honest with people, amen, and be honest with ourselves, right? And then we are not to be so self-centered. How many know that it's not always about you and what you want to do and how you want to do it, right? Cannot be self-centered. We must rid ourselves of excuses, because excuses are only crutches for the uncommitted, right? And then I read today or earlier this morning, it said that excuses are lies that we tell ourselves so that it doesn't have to be our fault. An excuse is a lie that we tell ourselves so that it doesn't have to be our fault. Why that fried chicken so good? They shouldn't fry it so good, I wouldn't eat it all the time. That's just an excuse that we don't want to take the blame for eating all that Bojangles fried chicken. You know, do not compare ourselves with others. You know, the Bible tells us that when we compare ourselves, we become unwise, amen? And we are not to be so easily offended. To be offended is a choice, right? So we must make a choice not to become offended, because the times will come where you have the opportunity to become offended. But we have to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to get to the place where, oh, she didn't speak to me. Okay, I'm done. But no, that's a choice that you make. Maybe she didn't see you. You know, did you ever think about it that way? So, and then the last thing he said was that we should not be a gossip. We should not be a gossip, right? So we must make sure that we are always saying those things that are edifying, that we're not talking about people behind their backs, amen, that we're not bold enough to say in front of their faces, right? We should not be a gossip. We should make sure that we are not even entertaining the person that is gossiping, because if they're talking about somebody else to you, they will talk about you to somebody else, right? Okay, so today, amen, we're going to continue on in a series of Bigger on the Inside, and I believe that the word of God is going to transform your life, transform your thinking, and cause you to believe at another level. So in our series, we've learned that when you know that you are bigger on the inside, you don't allow outside interferences, circumstances, or challenges to cause you to act outside of the wisdom or the knowledge that you have gained since becoming a Christian. So in other words, when something comes up, when a challenge comes up or a circumstance comes up, you don't act out of that knowledge. When you know better, what? You do better. So we don't go and revert back to the pre-Jesus script, right? Because something has happened that has taken us by surprise. But it may have taken us by surprise, but it never takes God by surprise. Amen? And when you know that you are bigger on the inside, you are reminded that you are spiritually grounded and mature enough to realize that each test, storm, or trial is just an attack of the enemy to try to trap you or trip you up. So you know it's not the person that's after you. That's just the enemy that's trying to attack you or trip you up. Amen? So you don't go after the person. You go after the spirit, and you say, no, devil, I see what you're trying to do, and it won't work, right? Because you are mature enough to realize that we do not fight against flesh and blood, amen, but against principalities, amen, and rulers of darkness in the high places. And when you know that you are bigger on the inside, you know that if you just keep swinging, remain consistent, and use what you have, God is going to cause you to run into the favor that you need, the wisdom you need, the person you need to help you to reach your destiny and your success in life. So if I just stay in the fight, if I just don't quit, if I don't give up, God has already raised up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help me prosper. Amen? Amen. So all of the resources that I need, all the people that I need, all the favor that I need is all around me. And sometimes we just have to use what we have. So today we're going to talk about using what you have. All right? So how many moms are in the house today and you have kids that's home for the summer and they've been eating everything up? I have two, all right? I'm like, goodness, y'all just ate. But how many know that they could go in the refrigerator? They can go in the cabinet and say, there is nothing here to eat. There is no food in this house. But let one of us go in there, and we have found a four-course meal because we had learned how to use what we have. There are some noodles over here. There's some butter right here. There you go, buttered noodles. You know, and then you find some bread right here. There's a piece of sausage right there. You know, there's a chicken breast right there. You know, we done made like something else. You know, we got like a chicken sandwich, you know. So, but the thing is, you have to learn how to use what you have. But a lot of times we discredit the little things that we have as we sometimes feel that because they are used, they are worn, or they're running empty, that they are not as valuable or they are incapable of fulfilling the task at hand. So because you may be running on empty, that does not mean that it's not valuable anymore. Because it may be running on empty, that does not mean that it cannot still fulfill the task that you needed to fulfill. So you can still get full off of some noodles and butter. Right? Yes, you can. And the bottom line is you just want to make sure that you're no longer hungry. Right? But sometimes we want something different than what we have available. But if you just use what you have, it'll give you the strength to go forward to get what else you need. Right? All right. So I want to encourage you today to no longer think that the too little is not enough. All right? Or too small is not enough. But what you have is enough. It's funny because I was talking to Shelton on yesterday because he's been helping us do some things around the house. You know, we've been doing some painting and doing a little bit of renovating here and there. And so he was, I was asking him because we ordered these new sconces for our bathroom. And so some kind of way, I thought I had put the electrical caps and the screws to the new sconce on the counter so I would not throw them away. Well, I was looking for the packet with the caps and the screws, and I couldn't find them. So I'm like, Shelton, I think I threw away the stuff for the sconce. And so I told him, I said, I think I'm going to have to go to Lowe's to pick up something else. And so in the meantime, again, he's working on some other stuff for us. And so he shows me this picture of something that he had been drawing for Pastor because he's making Pastor a new, I don't know what that thing is, a platform for the media rooms, for some chairs. I don't know, but he's building something. And so he showed me his little drawing, and he said, well, it's not perfect because all I had was Sydney's big pencils, the round pencils. But I was like, well, you had to use what you had. You know, because the thing is, you were able to still, you know, make a drawing that you were able to put your measurements in. You were able to make a fit for you because that's all you had at that moment. So to me, yeah, I don't know what you're doing, but it worked for you. So sometimes you just have to use what you have because you know what you're trying to make happen. Even though the other person doesn't understand the whole picture, as long as you know the big picture, that's all that matters. So don't worry about what people say. Well, I don't know what that means. Well, I know what it means, and God knows what it means, and we're going to make this thing work, right? So sometimes you just have to use what you have. If it's a fat pencil, if it's red, if it's purple, if it's almost broken, guess what? Broken pencil still color. Right? So you just have to use what you have. All right? So I'm reminded about the woman, the widow, Zarephath, about when she said, how I was saying about how sometimes it's not always enough or we think it's not enough. In 1 Kings chapter 17, there was a famine in the land, and God told Elijah that basically God had been providing food for Elijah. He had the ravens come down and feed him every day, and he was going to drink water from the brook. And so because of the famine, there had not been any rain. And so the brook had began to dry up. So God told Elijah, go to Zarephath. I have caused a widow woman there. She's going to sustain you. So I'm reminded here how when he got to the city, he saw this woman and she was gathering sticks. And so he said, can you give me some water? So she said, yeah, I can give you something to drink. And then as she was going to give him some water, he said, can you also make me a cake? And she was like, okay, wait a minute. You asked for some water. I can give you that. But now you're asking for some cake too. All I have is just a little bit of meal in the barrel for me and my son that we're going to eat, and then we're going to die. But here's the thing. She only had a little bit to her. She thought she's had enough just for her and her son for this one meal. But because she was obedient to God and she made the man of God a cake first with that little bit of meal, what happened? God calls for her, the prophet, and her son to not only have one meal, but they were sustained through the remainder of the famine. So just because it seemed like it was a little bit to you, again, God can breathe on that thing when you just take another look at it and say, God, this is what I have. It's all I have, but God, you breathe breathe on it, you make it more than what I need to sustain me through the end. So here, that's what happened for her. She had a little bit, but God said, give it to me and let me breathe on it, and I will sustain you. So God is saying to you today, give it to me, let me breathe on it, and I will sustain you. Will you trust him on this morning? Amen. So what we have is enough, all right? So today I'm going to give you one big Bible story that I know you all have heard about. And it's a very familiar Bible story, so don't tune me out, because we're talking about David and Goliath, all right? So I know you know the story, and I know the story, but we're going to talk about the story a little bit more in my remaining minutes, okay? So we're going to talk about David and Goliath. And we're going to talk about how he really realized that he was bigger on the inside. And the Bible wants to remind us today that we really can win when we are looking at what appears to be a definite loss, once we realize who is at work on the inside of us. Yeah, it may sound like it's a very big opposition. It may sound like it's going to overtake me with one swoop. But God's saying, when you realize who you are on the inside and who's on the inside of you, and if you may seem small, guess what? You are still a victorious person. Amen? So we're going to bounce around a little bit in 1 Samuel, and we're going to start at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 1. Are you being blessed so far? Amen. It's going to get gooder and gooder, as Pastor says. All right, so verse 1 says, now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Sakkah, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Sakkah and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. Verse 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he stood and he cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Verse 9, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And verse 10 says, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Okay, so let's stop right there. So the first problem I have is that in verse 1, these jokers were bold enough to come in the land that did not belong to them and start a fight. That's the first problem I have. Okay, let me get, sorry about the joker thing. These people came into a land that did not belong to them. They came to your yard, okay? This is what happened. They came to the land that belonged to Judah and Israel. So imagine you are at your house, and they come rolling up to your address and step foot on your grass in your front yard and say, I want to fight. That's basically what happened. You know, so that's the first problem I had, that they had that enough boldness to come into my space and say, I want to fight you, okay? And mind you, let me break back up a little bit. Israel defeated the Philistines like 20 years prior. So now they figure, okay, we got ourselves together. Now we got us a big man. We got Goliath. We ready now. We ready. We ready. You know how they do. So. And so now they feel they have somebody that can fight for them. Now they're like, okay, yeah, you go, Goliath. Let's go, Goliath. We got it. Now we can go. But because they have this ringleader, now they feel they have some boldness as well. But have you ever met someone who always trying to flex their power because they're in authority? You know, you go to sometimes these places of business and you want them to show you some favor. I said no. You know, they try to act like because they're in power, they can just flex their muscles. But it's okay. You know, you may try to feel like you're winning right now, but I'm going to have the last laugh, you know. So that's how Goliath was. You know, Goliath goes around saying, you know, find somebody that can fight me. You pick somebody that you think can fight me. That's how he was just going around, you know, just taunting everybody, right? So he's 6'9". You're big. That's all good. But the bigger you are, the harder you fall, right? So imagine just going about your day-to-day life, and then out of nowhere, this Goliath invades your space, tries to disrupt your peace, and dares you to fight. And so Goliath in this term, in today's term, can be anything. That can be loss of a loved one. That can be illness. That can be disease. That can be depression. So imagine you're having, you're just going through life. All of a sudden, it's like now all of a sudden I feel a sense of depression coming over me. Where did this come from? Because I was fine just yesterday. Now I don't want to get out of bed. So that could be a Goliath in your life today is the spirit of depression. But this is what I want us to do. We don't want to be like verse 11 and Saul and his army. Let's read verse 11. When Goliath comes, Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So we are not going to be afraid because they are now in our space. We are not going to lose courage, but we're going to be like, you know, the lion in the Wizard of Oz. We're going to go get us some courage, you know, courage. So we're going to go be courageous. Like God told Joshua, be thou strong and be thou very courageous, right? Because, again, we realize who's on the inside of us. He is bigger on the inside of us. So they compared themselves against the size of Goliath and considered themselves as good as dead. I'm reminded of the children of Israel in the land of Canaan, and they saw Canaan, and they saw themselves as grasshoppers in their eyes because, again, they were so small, but he was so big. But, again, we are not going to lose courage, and we are not going to be faint at heart, right? So now let's skip down to verse 16. Okay, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for how many days? For 40 days. So every morning and every night for 40 days, imagine being aggravated, being poked at, you know, being, you know, always reminded of what he's, what the enemy is trying to do in your life, how he's trying to disrupt you. How, you know, it can really begin to weigh on you mentally, if you be honest about it. 40 days, always you trying to remind me of this disease that the doctor has told me that I have not received that I have. But the devil's always trying to remind you of, you know, how, oh, you're not going to win the situation. You lost your job. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car. But that's just him trying to weigh you down mentally because he realizes that if he could beat you in your mind, he could beat you. So again, that's what Goliath was doing in this story. He was just 40 days just taunting and showing his muscles and showing who he was, trying to bring fear and make them doubt who they really were and who they were serving. But the thing is, the Goliath that you are facing has no confidence and he has no power. So that sickness has no power in your life, but only the power it has is the power that you give it. The enemy has no power in your life. The only power he has is the power that you give him. So we have to realize that we must strip the enemy of the power by stop giving him power by saying things that he's saying to us. We cannot rehearse his words. We have to rehearse the word of the Lord. Amen? So now let's skip down to verse 28. And so basically what I'm skipping here is basically David goes to the battle to bring them some food. He has three brothers who are there. And so his father tells him to go down and take his brothers some food. And here in verse 28, David comes down to the battleground. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." So the first problem I had was Goliath coming down to, you know, on their in their space. And the second problem I have with this story is right here where Eliab is asking David, why are you here? Okay, David, out of the goodness of his heart, has come now to try to bring you some food and strengthen you, and you're going to sit here and try to insult me? So that's the second problem I have. You know, you just have to think about it. You know, because sometimes here you are trying to help people, and they're trying to, you know, insult you. And sometimes the very ones that you help are the ones that are not always so freely to receive what you're trying to help them to get. Amen? But you cannot allow their intimidation of who you are stop you from going forth in what God has called you to do. Amen? So sometimes, again, you know, because, you know, you're trying to help people be a support for them, they don't always want to be the ones to support you. But you cannot stop doing right because they're not doing right. You keep doing right because that's the right thing to do. Amen? So here he is. You know, he's trying to, you know, throw off those few little sheep. Why they got to be little? Because, you know, that's a big job to David. And truth be told, you know, if you go back again in chapter 16, you know that David was born out of extramarital affair. So in those times, if that was the case, they looked down on him. They really put him in the wilderness because they were hoping that something was going to kill him and get rid of him. That's the bottom line of it. But because they really had a hatred for David, David said, you know what? I'm going to be the bigger person. You may not like me, but guess what? I'm going to still do right by you and show you how you are supposed to be in the earth. So in your life, people may try to mistreat you, but you still be the bigger person, do right by everybody that comes into contact with you, because you never know whose life you're going to change by just being nice. You don't have to pay evil for evil, right? You have to always do what's right, again, because it is the right thing to do. So let them be intimidated. Let them be the one walk around, you know, with the issue. But you always have your heart free so that God can continue to bless you. Amen? So now, in verse 29, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? So while the battle is going on, David is asking, you know, what is going to be given to the person who kills the Philistine? Everyone else saw the Philistine as a problem, but David saw him as an opportunity for God to show up and show up on his behalf. So now, so David asked, okay, so what's going to happen to the person who kills this Philistine? Because that's what he's been asking. You sent somebody to kill me. So this is what's going to happen in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And this is what's going to happen for the person that kills him. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So in other words, if David was to go forth and fight Goliath, he was going to get three rewards out of this, right? He was going to have his family would be exempt from paying taxes. His family would not be rich. And then David would give his daughter. Then King Saul would give his daughter to David for a wife. So here we see David going to put his life on the line for somebody that don't like him. Think about it. He's saying, okay, if I go and fight the Philistine and I win, my whole family, those that don't like me, put me in the wilderness to try to kill me, they're going to be blessed because of what I did. But guess what? He did not turn away. He did not say, okay, forget them then. Shoot, let them go on and die. Even though he knew what he had on the inside of him, he realized that, again, there was a bigger thing at stake, and that was the name of the Lord was being defiled. And in your life, you cannot let people just defile the name of the Lord in your presence, because you have a clear understanding of who God is in your life and realize, no, that's not my God you're talking about. That must be somebody else's God. But you're not going to sit here and downplay or talk bad about my God when I know that my God is real. He's proven to me time and time again that he is a healer, that he is a sustainer, that he is a provider, that he's the reason that I'm here today, right? So you cannot allow, you know, somebody else's ignorance to stop you from speaking forward. Amen. So here David said, okay, I see that even though I'm going to put my life on the line for somebody else, it's not just about me. So three of the things that would happen would benefit his family, and David really only just benefit from the wife. Of course, he would also have the benefits of being made rich and the family being free of taxes, but David said it's more than just that. So David was willing to fight Goliath and benefit the same people that were insulting him. He was willing to do all of that for the same ones that were mistreating him along the way. So do we have that type of heart on this morning? To do the same thing for people that are mistreating us? I see some faces that look a little bit puzzled, but God is going to be glorified in your life on today. Amen? All right, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. So David said, don't y'all be scared. It's okay. I'll do it. I'll be the one. Y'all aren't really at my place right now. I know who I am. So y'all may be a little scared. So I'll be the one to step forward and go forth. And so sometimes you find ourselves in positions where we have to be the only one speaking up when everyone else is on mute. And sometimes we find ourselves in positions where we're the only ones that are standing up when everyone else is standing down. So sometimes it just might just have to be you, because sometimes change never comes because no one ever speaks up. It may have to be you to be the one to say, okay, this is what we need to do to know for us to move forward in life. So you cannot be the one always, you go first, you go first. You might be the one to have to go first, right? So you have to make sure that you have the bigger one on the inside of you to cause you to go forth and be strong in that decision. Amen. Verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art just a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and I smote him, and I delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. I smote him, and I slew him. David said, listen, don't be trying to trip on who I am. Yeah, I may be small, but look, I am big. I am strong, and I know what I'm able to do, all right? 36, so thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath what? Defied the armies of the living God. You are not going to talk about my God in my presence. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivereth me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will definitely deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go unto the Lord, and go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. Verse 39, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He started to go, for he had not proved it. And so David said unto Saul, I can't go with this. I don't know nothing about this stuff here. He said, for I have not proved them. And so David did what? He took it off. So sometimes, again, go with what you know. Pray for wisdom and for creative strategies. For God, this is what I know how to do. So God, you're going to have to breathe on this right here, because this I know how to do, all right? So don't be letting people put you in places that you are not prepared to go forth in. Right? So verse 40, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He's like, who is this little pretty boy? Pretty boys can't fight, is what Goliath was saying. Okay. And so, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But guess what? I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And guess what? This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from thee, and I will give your carcasses of the host of Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God where? In Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you unto our hands. So here is somebody who knows about their God. So sometimes, again, you have to remind the devil, no, you messing with the wrong one. I'm a pretty boy, I'm a pretty girl, and I came to fight, right? So don't let the enemy be the one talking to you. You got to talk back to him and say, no, we ain't rolling like this. This is not how we're going to fight, okay? I'm going to determine how the fight is going to go, and it's going to go my way, right? Verse 48, and we almost done. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, guess what? That David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So totally opposite than the others that ran away, right? Earlier they ran away. David said, no, I'm running to the Philistine, right? And you will never conquer anything that you're not big enough to confront. You will never conquer anything that you are not big enough to confront. And God will give you the power to overcome the moment that you get the courage to confront it. So you got to get up and say, I'm not going in my own power, but I'm going in the power and the strength of Almighty God. Amen. So it is time for us to rise up, look at our Goliath, and say that enough is enough. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine, and he slew him. him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. So therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. He took the Philistine's sword, right? Goliath's sword. And he drew it out of his sheath thereof, and he slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So in your life, you have to realize it's time to cut the devil's head off. That's just the bottom line. Are my ushers ready? If the ushers can get ready, I have a stone for you today. So it may seem small, but guess what? It is big enough to get the job done. So David's stone was small, but he just needed one shot to get the job done. So we're going to pass out to everybody a stone this morning, and I'm going to tell you what this stone is going to represent in your life. So let's do this as quickly as we can because I'm almost out of time. So everyone get a stone and then pass the bucket. And I want you to keep the stone as a remembrance of who you serve on this morning and who God is in your life. So he only needed one. He had five. We know why, because he thought his brothers wouldn't come and join the fight, but they didn't come. So he was ready. If they were ready, if I got a little bit of help, I got something to help for you to help me with. So everyone take one. You can go ahead and start playing some soft chording because we're about to go. So I just want to remind you on this morning that this stone is going to represent that he is the God of your past. So David remembered how God helped him defeat a lion. David remembered how God helped him defeat a bear. David knew that if he would help him in the past with a lion and a bear, that God would most definitely help him defeat this challenger, Goliath. So in your life, if he has blessed you before, guess what? He will bless you again. So God, the same God that blessed me back then, he is still right here today, right? So he is God. In Malachi 3:6, it says, I am the Lord and I change not. He is God of our past. God is also the God of power. You have the greatest one living on the inside of you. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in the inside of your life. So this rock says, God, you are a God of power. And the thing is, no matter how big the challenge is, that I realize that I'm not operating out of my own ability, but I'm operating out of your power. And you are the only container whose contents are greater than its container. You are the only container whose contents cannot fit inside of the container because God is at work in you. He is oozing all on the outside of you. Amen. Number three, he is a God of your present. He is an omnipresent God. He is always there. And he is a very present help in a time of trouble. So he said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. So number one, he is a God of our past. He is a God of power. He's a God of our present. And number four, he is a God of promise. He is serious about his word that he swore by no one because he could not swear by anyone else but himself. So he swore by himself, amen, because he could swear by no one greater. He is faithful, that promise, and if he said it, guess what? It shall come to pass. So keep this as a remembrance that God is a God of my past, he's a God of power, he's a God of my present, and he is a God of promise. And there is no word from God that should not be fulfilled or returned void into your life, amen. So can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise all over the building on this morning? I pray you were blessed on today, realizing that you really can use what you have. David was familiar with the stone. He said, I'm going to use what I have. I can't work with all this other stuff. I don't know how this works, but I know how to use this little bit of rock. And guess what? It was enough to get the job done. And what you have is enough to get the job done. Amen. Because the victory belongs to us because we're not operating out of our own ability. We're not operating out of our own power, but we are operating out of the power of God Almighty. Amen. So at this time, let's bow our hands and let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today.